I have the wonderful opportunity to talk to you this morning about the power of praise. It is such an honor because God has used praise in my life to teach me so many things about who He is and about what He wants for my life. But it's not always been real easy. But I am just really honored to be able to kind of dialogue with you about praise. And if there's one thing that I would ask is that you would just open up your heart and ask God to maybe remove any preconceived ideas or incorrect ideas you've had about who He is or what He looks like or what He wants to do in your life, and just really be open to Him revealing Himself in a new way this morning. So would you pray with me as we pray for that? Father, it is such an honor to continue in praise to You. And Father, You know my heart, and You know my passion for praise and how You have worked it into the core of my life and how it has been just a lifesaver for me, God. And I just pray that You would do that for these ladies, that You would work into our hearts and our lives the power that we have when we praise You, God. When we praise You in prayer, when we praise You in song, and God, when we praise You in how we live our lives. Thank You so much that You equip us to do that through Your Holy Spirit. And right now, God, I just ask that Your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that You would reveal new things to us, God, so that we can live a life of praise to You. And we ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you're a follow-alonger on those sheets, you can do that, but I would just, if there's notes that you want to write down, that's great, but I would just really encourage you to kind of invest yourself and maybe put down your pencil, and if there's something that strikes you that's not on that sheet, then you can write it down, but we are going to really participate together this morning, so I'm really looking forward to that. Now, I have brought a camera with me, and this is a digital camera, and if I were to look out there and try to get you guys in focus and take your picture... You look marvelous. What would this picture tell me about this group? Can you think of different things that it would tell me about this group? How you're feeling, that you're happy. What else would it tell me? That you're here. Very good. That you're actually here. It's proof. What else? Oh, you like to eat. Yes. Well, and you know what? That fits right in with my last one that I was looking for. It shows what we're doing, doesn't it? You know, there are many settings on this camera, and I'm basically familiar with the on-off switch and maybe perhaps the focus button, but that's about it. And my kids used to make horrible fun of me because I would get them all set, you know, for the perfect Kodak moment, you know, like a birthday, and we've got the candles lit, and I would get all set with this camera, and all of a sudden I'd say, it's not working. And they'd say, Mom, you have it in video mode. Well, I didn't even know the camera had a video mode. So by the time they would get me straightened out, what I would see through my viewfinder instead of happy, smiling faces, the spontaneity of the moment was lost, and all I saw was grumpiness and impatience. And that really discouraged me. So on my spare time, I have practiced. I know how to take a picture, and that's about it. But that focus button really does something very particular for us. It puts everything, the image that you're taking a picture of, in focus. Now, there are many other buttons on this. I'm going to have to read them because I'm not really familiar with them. An aperture setting sounds very important. Exposure, compensation, shutter speed, a flash. Well, I know what that is. And all of these have an effect on the image that is captured on the little memory card. I don't know where the film went, but film is no longer something that we use. It's all on a memory card. It's all digital. But do those settings, those filters, that lens, change the actual thing that I am photographing? If I put this in blurry mode, does that make you actually blurry? No, you may feel blurry. It will take a picture and the image looks blurry, but it does not change who you are. It changes our view or the image of what is being photographed. And the same is true with praise. All the lenses that we look through to try to see God, our circumstances, our emotions, our attitude, can distort and diminish our view of God. But they don't change the truth of who God is. Is that a true statement? When we try to look at God through these lenses and these filters of our circumstances, it's going to distort our view of God. But does God actually change, or is it just our view that's changing? It's just our view God is still the same, but our circumstances, our emotions, our past, our fears, our sin can distort our view of God. But the beautiful thing about praise is the lens that brings the true picture of God back into focus. And I know that you talked a little bit about this with Judy last week, but praise reminds us of the truth of who God is. It reminds us that He is here with us, just like that picture showed that you were actually here. It reveals to us what He is doing. We can recognize His activity in this place. And that's what we're going to be talking about with praise. And I want you to think just for a moment, and then we're going to go to our tables. And what in your life right now is affecting your view of who God is? It can either be positive or negative. It could be feelings, how you're feeling today, your circumstances. Maybe you have a really heavy thing that is pressing on you. It could be your hormones. I think hormones play a huge part in how I feel sometimes, or an attitude. And just share that at your tables. What in your life right now is affecting your view of who God is? It can either be positive or negative. Feelings, circumstances, hormones, and attitude. But at your tables, as you were discussing those different things that might cloud your view of who God is, it's so important to know why praise is essential, because it will sharpen that focus. And all those things that are kind of out of focus in our lives, praise is that lens that will put the truth of who God is back into focus. And then our feelings and our circumstances and everything else can come underneath the authority of who God is. And remember, just because we see things in a certain way, that doesn't change who God is, because God is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are created and commanded to praise God from the very beginning of time. Kimber actually handed out some of those scriptures. And if you were given Isaiah 43:21, all right, would you mind coming up to the microphone and reading that for us? And then Hebrews 13:15, if you'd be on deck to come up and do that. And thank you, ladies, for being willing to do that. Okay, we are created and commanded to praise God. Isaiah 43:21, and this is the NIV.
The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
So from the very beginning, we were created to give praise to God. And that's why when we do praise God, there is a sense of fulfillment and joy and peace, because we are doing what we were created to do. And when we're not doing that, if we're not giving praise to God or living a life of praise, we are missing out on part of what God created us to do. All right, the next one. Hebrews 13:15.
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name.
Thank you. We are commanded to give praise to God. BibleGateway.com has 351 references to praise in the NIV Bible. God talks about praise all throughout the Psalms, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Praise is essential. This is Psalm 148, and if you want, I'm reading from the Message Bible, so if you just want to listen, hallelujah. Praise God from heaven. Praise Him from the mountaintops. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all you warriors. Praise Him, sun, moon, and praise Him, stars, you morning stars. Praise Him, high heaven. Praise Him, heavenly rain clouds. Praise, oh, let them praise the name of God. He spoke the word, and there they were. He set them in place from all time to eternity. He gave His orders, and that's it. Praise God from earth, you sea dragons, you fathomless ocean deeps, fire and hail, snow and ice, hurricanes obeying His orders, mountains and all hills, apple orchards and cedar forests, wild beasts and herds of cattle, snakes and birds in flight, earth's kings and all races, leaders and important people, robust men and women in their prime. That's us. And yes, gray beards and little children, let them praise the name of God. It's the only name worth praising. His radiance exceeds anything in the earth and sky. He's built a monument, His very own people. We are His monument, and we are to give Him praise. Praise from all who love God, Israel's children, intimate friends of God. Hallelujah, which means give praise to God. So it's pretty clear that all of creation, including graybeards and women in their prime, are to give praise to God. And again, we have such a sense of fulfillment when we are willing to do that. But everything in the world and surrounding us, sometimes even in our own bodies, fight that command to give praise to God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. What do you think is the definition of praise? And there's no right or wrong answers. It's just what you think. Thanking God for his blessings. All right. Telling God your positive regard for him. I like that. That he is the King of Kings. Anything else? Attributing the worth to God and the right respect for who he is. Glorifying God. All those can be a definition of praise. The one that I kind of landed on through some books that I was reading on praise, and one, by the way, is, and this is on worship and praise, an excellent book. It's called Entering His Presence, Experiencing the Joy of True Worship by Don McMinn, who is a very well-known author. But if you want to be excited about praise and about worship in your prayer life, in your living out your life, in your worship, I would really recommend this book. But he talks about praise is an acknowledging and speaking forth the truth of who God is. It is our adoration and grateful acknowledgement of his power, his authority, his wisdom, and worthiness. Telling God and the whole world that you know what you know to be true about him. God, I praise you for being my rock, my redeemer, that you are sovereign, that you are holy, that you are just. It's different than thanksgiving. You praise with a thankful heart, but thanksgiving, you're thanking God for what he has done. Praise acknowledges and declares who God is, and you are giving him adoration for that. It might look like this in your prayer time. God, I come before you with thanks for helping me through this last week. That would be thanksgiving. Praise is, in this last week, God, you have shown me that you are my comfort, my peace, my strength, my deliverer. And there is power in speaking forth the truth of who God is. How many adjectives, and this is our next question, how many adjectives can you come up with to describe the character of God? And I heard something kind of interesting, that Jesus only has one name. It's the name of Jesus. That's what God called him. But there are many words to describe who he is and who the character of God is. So at your tables, and I had handed out a list a while ago, and I was going to look for that, and I thought, you know what? It's better if we compile our own list. So at your tables, have one person be the secretary person, and just list all the attributes of God, all the character traits that you can think of who he is. I'm going to have people come up and share some of your lists, and all you have to do is just list it off. But I want you to do individually one thing first. I want you to think back to that first question about what in your life right now is affecting your view of who God is. And this would probably, well, it could be for either positive or negative. And look at the list that you created about the character of God, and what character trait on that long list of who God is could speak to that thing that is affecting your view of God. In other words, if you are sick and that's really discouraging you, what's an attribute of God that could totally transform that? That he's the healer. So individually, take that, maybe that one thing, or maybe it's a positive thing. Maybe you're rejoicing because God provided financially for you. What would be the corresponding attribute that took care of that need for you? That he's provider, Jehovah Jireh. So just take a minute and do that. And if I could have just a couple table people that took down those lists, if you would come and just line up here, and we're just going to shoot these things off one after another, giving praise to God. So do you see why prayer is essential in our lives? Because it reminds us of who God is. It takes that moment to lift him up and declare who he is to ourselves, but also to everybody that's listening. Okay, so let's just fire these off, and we can have more people come up if they want. All right, here we go.
Father, Redeemer, Unchangeable, Shelter, Comforter, Jealous, Judge, Giving, Caring, Wise, Teacher, Compassionate, Merciful, Eternal, Powerful, Provider, Loving, Champion, Defender, Almighty, Healer.
Amen.
Praiseworthy, Powerful, Holy, Faithful, Graceful, Merciful, Long-Suffering, Loving, Righteous, Patient, Plentiful, Fearsome, autonomous, awesome, amazing, omniscient, so big yet so small, omnipresent, all-knowing, personal, timeless, everlasting, generous, forgiving, comforter, strength, shield, rock, fortress, provider, encouraging.
Amen.
Perfect love, trustworthy, all-powerful, loving, forgiving, compassionate, merciful, patient, kind, all-knowing, understanding, comforting, longing, like he longs for us to come to him, wise, creative, strong, gentle, victorious, big, best friend, loyal, redeemer, perfectly just, eternal, righteous, awesome, beautiful, glorious, light, bright, shining, truthful, healer, sustainer of life, provider, and generous.
So long, but these were the ones I wrote down. There were more at our table. Teacher, King, Lord, healer, provider. He's all sufficient. He's rock, a rock. He is just, judge. He is light, the creator. He's our strong tower, our father. He's sovereign and he's eternal and he's our comfort.
God, thank you for creating us in a way that we can proclaim who you are, God, with our mouths and with our voices. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to embolden us to proclaim who you are aloud, God. God, we give you praise. You may have a seat. So we saw what praise is and we've been practicing praise. What does praise do in prayer and worship? In Psalm 46:10, I believe someone has that scripture.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
So what praise does in prayer and worship, it exalts God to the rightful place in the world and in my life. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. When we give praise to God, that we are exalting him to the proper place that he deserves. Praise also testifies to who Jesus is and brings people to him. It invites God's presence into the situation and transforms it. Psalm 22:3 talks about inhabiting the praise of his people. And when we give praise to God, we are inviting his presence into the situation. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times that I need to feel God's presence in the midst of a situation that I find myself in. And when we give praise to God, he promises to do that. He inhabits our praise. Acts 16:22. I'm going to be reading the story of Paul and Silas from the Contemporary English Version. But if you want to open your Bibles to 16:22 and follow along, you are more than welcome to do that. Or if you just want to listen to me as I read from God's Word. Acts 16:22. Praise testifies to who Jesus is and brings people to him and invites God's presence into the situation and transforms it. The crowd joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off the two men and ordered them to be beaten with a whip. After they had been badly beaten, they were put in jail, and the jailer was told to guard them carefully. The jailer did as he was told. He put them deep inside the jail and chained their feet to heavy blocks of wood. Now listen to what they do. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God while other prisoners listened. Suddenly, a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened and the chains fell from all the prisoners. When the jailer woke up and saw that the doors were open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. He pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. That was the penalty. He would have been killed to let prisoners escape. So he was going to beat him to it. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. No one has escaped." The jailer asked for a torch and went into the jail. He was shaking all over as he knelt down in front of Paul and Silas. After he had led them out of the jail, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Have faith in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This is also true for everyone who lives in your home." Then Paul and Silas told him and everyone else in his house about the Lord. While it was still night, the jailer took them to a place where he could wash their cuts and bruises. Then he and everyone in his home were baptized. They were very glad that they had put their faith in God. After this, the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home and gave them something to eat. The next morning, The officials sent some police with orders for the jailer to let Paul and Silas go. The jailer told Paul, "The officials have ordered me to set you free. Now you can leave in peace." And even though the outcome of that, Paul chose not to be set free because God's work for him was not done. Can you see how praise testifies to who Jesus is and it invites God's presence into the situation and transforms it? I can't think of a more powerful picture than people being chained in prison all alone. And they begin to lift up praise to God. They begin praying and singing praise to God. And that invited God's presence into that situation in the form of an earthquake and to release those prisoners. But God wanted to do so much more through praise of him. And when we praise God, we are testifying to the power of Jesus Christ. And when we praise God, we open up the door for God to use us and to bring people to himself. Praise also can make Satan flee. And this is a really important offensive tool that we have. When I least feel like praising, that's when I need it the most. We need to be willing to speak the words of praise aloud, not just think them in our head. Satan is always pushing against us, trying to push that praise down, trying to discourage us. And God says that praise is a weapon against the evil one. Psalm 8, verse 2.
From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger.
Thank you. The New Living Translation says it like this. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. And God gave me kind of a snapshot, a picture of what happens when we praise God. Every time we praise God, Satan is put in his place, crushed under the heel of Jesus. Every time we give praise to God, we are declaring that Satan is powerless, that God is all powerful. And because of the struggle in the beginning of Satan wanting all that adoration and praise, every time we praise God, it's like throwing a dart at Satan because he will not stay in the presence of praising God and he will flee. And I have felt that in a very tangible way through prayer, through song, but it also gives you a picture of sometimes why there is such a battle. I don't know if you've ever been in a position, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, where you just feel like you cannot even, you feel so discouraged that you can't even form the words to give praise. And that's when we need to take authority and praise God the most, to open the word of God and to speak forth the truth of God's word and who he is. Because Satan will not stay. He will not stay in the presence of praising God. Praise also turns the tables on Satan. When I praise God in the midst of a trial, I'm claiming and declaring that God's power is greater than Satan's power. I disarm the weapon of discouragement and pity that the evil one wants me to indulge in to make me ineffective. When I praise, I am marching in a victory parade and become a sweet fragrance to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. This is one of my favorite verses.
But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing.
Thanks, Kara. We are walking in a victory parade every time that we give praise to God. And we become the fragrance of the knowledge of God to those around us. But we also become the fragrance of Christ to God himself. And that totally turns the tables on Satan. Anything that he's meaning for harm, when we praise, we're turning it for our good and for God's good. There is a verse in Isaiah 54:17, and this is the New Century Version, and this actual verse is found in the song that we're going to sing. It says, "So no weapon that is used against you will defeat you. You will show that those who speak against you are wrong. These are the good things my servants receive. Their victory comes from me, says the Lord." So when we praise, we are engaging really in a victory celebration. We are declaring that Satan's power has no power over us. We've been talking a lot about and practicing praise in the spoken word and through music, but praise is also primary when we go to God in prayer and to really prepare us for prayer. I think for me, one of the first things that I need to do when I am coming to God in prayer is to begin with praise. And what it reminds me of, first and foremost, when I begin my prayer with praise, I am reminded that God is in control. Be still and know that I am God. He is in control. So I'm getting my mind, you know, starting to line it up a little bit. It reminds me of his character, that he is faithful, trustworthy, all-powerful, and completely able to handle what I'm facing. I don't even want to go to him and ask him for things or anything until I remind myself and declare who he is, that he is faithful, that he is all-powerful, that he is sovereign. Anything that touches my life has to go through the hand of God first. And I can trust that hand. It humbles me when I proclaim who God is, that he is holy, that he is just, that he is the Lamb. I am reminded of who I am. And I come to God humbled, because when I see myself as compared to him, there is just like no comparison. And being humble before God in prayer is so important. So praise also reminds me to be humble before God. And it prepares me to continue in prayer with the right motive. If I'm humbled before God and I remember who he is, that he is in control, I can go to him now with the right motive in prayer. Otherwise, I'm just coming to him with my list and why all these things are wrong and why life shouldn't be this way and who's wronged me. And that's not a respectful way to come to God. He wants us to be honest with him, but he also wants us to come to him first in praise so that we can pray with the right motive, so that he can answer our prayer, which is his desire. But we need to ask with the right motive. And praise does that. Praise puts me right where I need to be. And I begin to worship God in my prayer when I listen for his voice. In other words, in prayer, I go from praise, and we're going to talk about worship a little bit, but I'm listening to God when I begin to worship. I'm having a dialogue with him, and I can't get there unless I've done praise first. And then at the end of my prayer, I end in praise, proclaiming God's power in goodness, leaving all my cares with him, confident that he will act according to his will. Our praise is essential in prayer. And praise also prepares our hearts for worship. Nehemiah 8:5-7 says, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Praise and worship are wonderfully related, and it's often difficult to, you know, tell where one starts and one finishes and then the other begins. But praise is our acknowledgement of his power, authority, and wisdom and worthiness. We are offering it up to God. It's one directional. We're offering that up to him. It doesn't require a response from God. Now, we get fulfillment from praise because that's what we were created to do, but it doesn't require a response. Worship, however, is relational. It's not only our confession and our praise to God, but it's his response to us. Often we don't know when we've received in worship because many times we don't even know what we need. We begin with praise. We put God in his rightful place, and then we're ready to enter into worship where we can respond as he responds to us. It's two-directional. It's relational. It's kind of like if you were in a relationship with somebody, praise is like telling them what you love about them, that you're talking and you're just telling them what you love about them. And worship is having that other person speak back to you, and it's a dialogue. And so praise prepares us for that. If we're focused on ourselves, we're not going to be ready to hear from God. And he wants us to worship. He wants us to worship him. And he can respond to us. That's why sometimes if you're in a worship setting, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's definitely happened to me, I will go away from that setting just feeling very peaceful. Or something that was really hindering me or bothering me, God has removed. And praise allows us to enter into that more intimate worship with him. Praise changes my attitude and renews me. Colossians 3 talks about, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share all his glory. So then it gives a list. So put to death all the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Amen. Put on your new nature, and this is the part that talks about being renewed, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So praise enables me to be renewed. It enables me to pattern myself after who God is, that he is pure and that he is holy. So it renews and changes me. And I am the only one that can hinder God's blessing in my life. I am the only one that can hinder God's blessing in my life. Now, we may have people that are doing harmful things to us. We may have people that are saying horrible things about us. Those things are true. But if I am willing to yield myself to God and give him praise in the midst of that, he will always, always, always bless me. Now, it may not be what I asked for, but I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder God's ability to pour blessing into my life. And when I give praise to God in the midst of a horrible situation, I'm giving him the opportunity to do that. Praise is a choice and an act of my will. I don't have to feel like it. Living a life of praise, what praise looks like in my life. I can acknowledge the dual reality. You don't have to be fake. Read the Psalms. It's full of honest dialogue with God about crummy people doing crummy things, but it's also full of praise. My feelings and circumstances don't change who God is. Remember the lens of the camera. I must use God as my lens and look at my circumstances through the lens of praise, through who God is. And when in doubt, go back to what you know to be true about God. And I also have, let's see something in here. I've thought of creative things I could do with these pantyhose. I could wear them as a scarf. I could wear them as a belt. Don't you think they're really special in the back? I have struggled all summer long with pantyhose, support hose. I even had a fit one morning when I was putting it on, and I'd gone through my 10th pair and my fingernail went through it, and I just took those babies off and started shredding them up. I was so mad because every time I would put these on, it was a reminder of something that I had gone through in December when they found a malignant melanoma on my leg, and the surgeon needed to do a sentinel node biopsy, which means that they take that spot, they took the spot and injected it with radioactive dye and then watched where that dye went and what lymph nodes it went to. So they were able to get all the melanoma, but they wanted to make sure that it hadn't spread to my lymph nodes. Well, thankfully it didn't spread and I didn't need chemotherapy or radiation. But because of the removal of those lymph nodes, my leg often swells and has a lot of fluid in it, and it's really painful. And so the doctor told me, well, you can wear support pantyhose. And all I could think of was that character on Laugh-In, Ruth Buzzy. You know Ruth? Her name is Gladys. And she had support hose falling around her ankles. And that is all I could think of when he said support hose. Well, through trial and error, I did find that sheer energy control top pantyhose have enough compression to help the fluid, you know, flow back up where it needed to be. But then I have the problem, there is so much compression that I have that lovely muffin top that spills over the top. Now, you think you have it with underwear or jeans? Try having on control top pantyhose and having this muffin top spill over. And then try putting pants on top of that in the summer in Arizona in 104 degree heat. Do you think I've practiced this complaining? You know, people would say, oh, you look so nice. You're wearing dresses all the time. It's only so I can get some ventilation. It has nothing to do with wanting to look cute or anything else. It's survival. So every time I would put these stupid pantyhose on, I was just grumbling and complaining until one morning I looked across the street at my neighbor and her head is completely bald and she is going through chemotherapy for breast cancer. She's looking at about 4 months of chemotherapy and then she's going to have a complete mastectomy to remove both breasts and then possibly looking at more chemo after that. And do you know that God used that in my life in such a way that now when I put these pantyhose on, I say, God, thank you so much that you've healed me, that all I have to deal with is a little swollen leg, that I don't have to go through chemotherapy. I just want to encourage you, take that one thing that is like the thorn in your side, and maybe you've practiced as much as I have, complaining about it. I mean, I have it all down. And as you're praying this week, take that one thing that has been just a thorn in your side and ask God to turn it into a point of praise for you. And he'll show you how to do that. I can't tell you how much better I feel when I put pantyhose on in the morning, and I haven't had a fit since I've done that. So I'm really happy about that. I'm going to end with just a story of how we can be that fragrance of the knowledge of him, like we talked about, that we're the essence of the fragrance of Christ to God and then to those around us. My daughter, Jessica, died 18 years ago at the age of 6 and a half from a brain tumor. And her ability to praise God as a 6 and a half-year-old little girl facing all the things that she had to face just has inspired me and still does. One of the situations that she was in after they diagnosed the brain tumor, she needed radiation. So she would go for 6 weeks, 3 times a week, to get radiation treatments. And she struck up this friendship with the radiology tech. Her name was Pat. And every day that Jessica went in there, she would start talking to Pat and just really became friends with her, and they really hit it off. Well, Jessica decided that she wanted to invite Pat to church. So she invited Pat to our church, and Pat came and eventually became a Christian. And Jessica's response when she found out that Pat had become a Christian, she said, "Just think, Mommy, if I never would have had this tumor, I never would have needed radiation. And then I never would have met Pat. And she never would have come to our church. And she never would have met Jesus." Now you talk about being humbled by a child. That kind of attitude just blew me away. And still does when I think about it. She also had a horrible fear of needles. And when she started her treatment, they were doing an MRI. And, you know, they have to inject that dye, you know, into your arm. And so they were... This is early on, and they were preparing that spot with a little alcohol swab, and she lets out this blood-curdling scream. I mean, she could really scream. And I said, "Jessica, what's the matter? They haven't even touched you with a needle." And she looked at me, and she said, "I know, I was just practicing." But then further on, she began to have seizures. She had up to 60 seizures a day as that brain tumor grew, and it put pressure on different parts of her brain. She was in the children's hospital for about almost a month while they tried to figure out anything that they could do to alleviate those seizures, which meant that she had to have blood draws a couple times a day. And she got to the point where she would, when the technician would come in to take her blood, she would ask the technician, she said, "What song would you like me to sing for you?" And what she did was she would, you know, not look at it. She'd give her arm and she would start singing one of the songs that she knew, one of the praise songs that she knew while that technician was taking her blood. And I cannot tell you as a mom what that did for me. But you know what? God allowed her to be in my life and to pour all those examples of praise into my life because that's what he wanted me to be. He wanted me to have that kind of attitude. And God is all around us pouring examples of praise into our lives and showing us examples of praise. And the last thing that I just want to leave with you is Satan wants nothing more than to steal our song of praise. He wants nothing more than to steal that joy. And during that time when I had that surgery in December, because it was 2 days before Christmas, I had to wait 9 days to find out if I was going to need chemotherapy, if it had spread, you know. 9 days of torment that I allowed the evil one to torment me. I didn't feel like I could sing. I didn't feel like I could say words of praise. And I cannot tell you what torment that was. Well, then finally God revealed that to me, what Satan was doing, and then I got really mad. And I filled up my journal with scripture, writing scripture. I would say that scripture aloud. I would fill my mind with praise songs. I would give praise to God. That was a turning point for me. And I just looked at my journal, and it was about 2 days before I found out, and this encouraged me, 2 days before I found out that the cancer had not spread, but I was still in that place, and I said, I'm going to sing louder for you, God. I'm going to be a risk taker for you. I am not going to be silent. And to know that I felt like I dug my heels in the ground and said, Satan, you can throw what you will at me, but I will not be quiet. And that's when God gave me the verse, to the end that my tongue and my heart and everything glorious within me may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That's Psalm 30, verse 12. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that your Holy Spirit dwells within us and that you can reveal to us when Satan is coming against us like a flood. Father, I'm so thankful that you have given us weapons against him, that we just need to stand in the truth of who you are, to proclaim who you are, to dig our heels in and say, we will not be moved. We will continue to give praise to you, God. And Father, what a joy to be able to feel you pouring your words of comfort into us as we look at our circumstances through the lens of praise and through who you are. God, we thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.